Now, another company after the LLP, another type of account is a joint stock companies. Joint stock companies. You know, nowadays, business is generally organized by the joint stock companies, which are incorporated under Companies Act 1956 or Companies Act 2013. So the joint stock company is nothing but it is an artificial person. Joint stock company is nothing but it is an artificial person with a perpetual succession brought into the existence under the provision of Companies Act. That means legally, a company is considered as an entity which is separate from its members and hence possesses all the powers to enter into valid contract. All right? So, it can own a property in its own name, carry on the lawful business, and incur liability on its own name. It can also sue its own names. That is the joint stock company. Another type of account that bank maintains is limited companies. Now the limited companies, when we talk about, there are two types of companies. One is a public limited company. That is the types of companies. One is a public limited company and another is private limited companies. Okay. Now, let us first understand the public limited companies or public companies. A public limited company is under Companies Act 2013. Is a company that has limited liability and offer the shares to the general public. It offers the shares to general public. Its stocks can be acquired by anyone, either privately through IPO or via trades on the secondary market, that is stock market. A current account can also open by the company within 60 days of its formation from the date of commencement of the business. To constitute a public company, the minimum number of shareholders should be 7, and there is no upper ceiling of such a membership. That is about the public limited company. Now, talking to private limited companies, right? Private companies. Private limited companies is nothing but it is a form of the business that is privately held business in which shares of the company are prohibited from being traded publicly. When the company gets registered, the next step is to open the bank account in the name of the company. Okay. A current account has to be opened to avoid the transaction limit. And there is no interest for the current balance account, balances held in the current account, unlike the savings account, recurring deposit or fixed deposit. Minimum shareholders required to constitute a private limited company is 2. And the maximum number limited is a 50 for private limited company shareholders. It is 200, 50 to 100. The name of the private company must end with the word private limited. If the name of company is like that, the name at the end, it should be mentioned as private limited. Now, the banks and other financial institutions. Bank can also be a customer of another bank. And the relationship of the depositor, creditor, principal, agent can exist between the banks also. This becomes necessary as the bank is often disallowed multiple physical presence either due to the statutory or cost-benefit perspective. When they need it to do the business in the jurisdiction or geographies where it is not physically present, they manage by using the services of another bank present in that region. Next is the government companies. Government companies are those companies in which minimum 51% share is held by the government, state or central. While opening an account in the name of the company, the banker must examine certain documents. Okay? First, examine the documents. As the company is an artificial person, its constitution, power, objective, rules, regulation, these are to be contained in the following important documents. Okay? Therefore, banker should thoroughly and carefully examine these documents. Number one document, certificate of incorporation and certificate of commencement of business. On its registration under the Companies Act 2013, a company is given recognition as an entity which separate from its member and acquires all the powers from the members and acquire all the powers to enter into the contracts and to commence its business. Therefore, banker should ensure that from these certificates, company is applying for opening the account, is a duly registered or incorporated body. Another document is a memorandum of association. Memorandum of association is the main document of the company, which describes its constitution and is called as a charter of the company. It is called as a charter of the company. It contains the name of company, its authorized capital, the name of the state in which it is registered or its registered office is established, and the liability object of the company and the liability of its members, which is generally limited to the extent of their shareholding. Banker should examine the memorandum specifically to note the objective for which the company has been incorporated. Because at any point of time, if the contract is entered into by a company which serves an object other than the object which is mentioned in the memorandum of articles, is unenforceable by the law and ultra vires. So such a contract cannot be ratified by the members of the company at their meeting, even by unanimous vote. Another document is Articles of Association. Articles of Association is the document which contains the rules and regulation of the company regarding conduct of the business or internal management. This document, Articles of Association, contains detail all the matter which are concerned with the conduct of day-to-day functioning of the company. For example, The article contains the rights, the powers of the directors, rules regarding the conduct of the company, meetings, the business that can be transacted by the company, and the form in which it is to be done. So every person, including the banker, who is dealing with the company or intend to deal with the company, should have the knowledge of content of these two documents, Memorandum of Articles and Articles of Association. Right? So he should take care that his dealing with the company are not inconsistent with the provision of document, and this is known as constructive notice. Constructive notice. Banker should therefore scrutinize these documents very carefully with regard to some important aspects. Some important aspect. Number one, the power of directors in conducting the affair of the company. Procedure for borrowing and the limit of borrowing. Third, the power vested in the directors to borrow the money for the company and to mortgage the company's assets. The procedure and authority to draw and endorse the checks, bills on behalf of the company. Banker should also obtain printed and certified copies of the Memorandum and Articles of Association for the purpose of their own record, because these two documents are very important. Then, copy of the board resolution along with the application to open the account in the company's name. Bankers also should obtain the certified copy of the resolution passed by the board of directors of the company containing the sum of the information which consists of appointment of the bank concerning as a banker to the company. Number two, naming the person who are authorized to operate the bank account on behalf of the company. And number three, stating that names of the person who are authorized to execute the document on behalf of the company or in whose presence the seal of the company that will be affixed on documents. Authorizing the advance and stating all the details of this advance, limit, scrutiny, rate of interest, etc. And finally, stating the name of the person who are authorized to deposit title deeds in case of equitable mortgage. These details in the board memorandum, in the document which is obtained as a board approval, has to be obtained. Let us understand a little bit about the borrowing power of the company. Borrowing power. Borrowing power is nothing but that the company may be restricted by the Memorandum of Association. Section 293(1)(d) of the Companies Act 1956, it is changed to 2013, provides that board of directors of the public limited company or private limited company, which is a subsidiary of the public company, shall not, except with the consent of such a public company or subsidiary of the general meeting, borrow the money in excess of aggregate of their paid up capital of the company and its free reserve. Temporary loans, that is loan repayable on demand within 6 months, that is called temporary loans. If any obtained from the company companies, bankers, in ordinary course of business, are excluded in computing the total borrowing of the company for this purpose. Now, borrowing by directors without authorization. Borrowing by directors without authorization. Here is the big question. Whether the amount borrowed by the director without the authority and used for the benefit of the company can be recovered from the companies or not. Okay. It was given to understand that by the division bench of the High Court, concurring with the proposition of the law that when, answer is, when an agent borrows the money for its principal without the authority of the principal, and if the principal takes the benefit of the money which is borrowed, or when the money is so borrowed has gone into the coffers to the principal, the law implies is a promise to pay, that company has to pay. This principle applies to the joint stock companies as well. Therefore, the company cannot repudiate its liability to repay. It has to pay. Even though individual director borrowed for the benefit of the company, company has to pay. Company cannot deny. It is to be noted that borrowing by the company may be ultra vires the director, but not ultra vires to the company. In such cases, money can be recovered from company. Now, precautions to be taken by the banker in respect of the limited companies. Banker should ensure that the company borrows only for the purposes which are mentioned in the memorandum of association and limit prescribed under this document. A certified copy of the resolution of the board of the directors, which was passed under section 292, should be obtained by the banker for their own records. Board of directors are also advised to pass a resolution certifying that the company's borrowing, including the proposed borrowing, are within the limit which is specified as per the Companies Act 2013, or the limit which is sanctioned by the shareholders at their general meeting. Banker should check that prescribed account opening form is duly filled in or not. Now, the document which containing the specimen of the signature of all the directors, authorized person to operate the account, should be obtained and verified. All specimen signature of all the directors. Banker should also take a certified and updated copies of memorandum and articles of association. And if the banker doubts about the content of such a copy, he can verify through the register of companies. A company is not deemed to be created unless and until a certificate of incorporation is issued by the register of companies. In case of the public limited company, the copy of the certificate of the commencement of the business is obtained. An updated list of the directors should be taken every year, signed by the chairman. Certified copy of the resolution of the board of directors regarding opening and execution of the document and conduct of the account. In addition, another document is copies of the financial statement. This must be produced from time to time. And to assess the financial stability, a company therefore sanctioning and permitting the drawdown loans. In case of closing or winding of the company, either compulsorily or by voluntarily or by the check drawn by the directors, authorized officials subsequent to the commencement of the winding up should not be paid. In case the firm is converted itself into a private limited company and has applied for an advance, care to protect the interest of the bank should also be taken, as the creditors may claim the company's assets transferred from the firm are encumbered or not in good shape, or they are inflated in the value. Additional precautions need to be taken in respect of the private limited companies. The banker should be very careful while in advancing the loans to the private limited company, which has recently been incorporated by conversion of the business of the sole traders. In such a cases, conversion in case of private limited companies. In such a cases, the creditors of the sole trader cannot recover their dues from the company which is deemed to be an entity which is separate from its shareholders. Sometimes sole trader convert their business into private limited company primarily to defect and defraud their creditors to whom they own a large sum of money, just to cheat them. In respect of the insolvent, according to the Insolvency Act, such a transfer of assets is considered to be an act of insolvency, and the insolvency proceedings may be instituted against such person. Therefore, when a trader is decided as a declared insolvent, any trader is declared as an insolvent, all the transfers which is made by him during a period of 2 years becoming void against the official receiver or assignee, except certain circumstances. And that circumstances, number one, is transfer made before and in consideration of the marriage, or transfer to a purchase in good faith and for valuable consideration. The official receiver in respect of liquidation gets a title to the property of the insolvent with an effect from the date on which insolvency takes place. This is called as doctrine of relation back, this act. So according to the doctrine of the dealing Act, the insolvent from the date of insolvency will not be valid, and all such property sold or transferred shall be vested in the official receiver. Banker should therefore make an inquiries to avoid such situation. Now, clubs, societies, charitable institutions, these accounts by clubs, societies and charitable institutions. clubs, societies, charitable institutions, religious institutions, libraries, schools, colleges, etc. They are not engaged in trading activities. It is a fact. They are not engaged in any trading activity or commercial activities. Maintain their account with the banks. And banks should observe some precaution while dealing with opening of such account and operating of such accounts. One important is registration or incorporation of the society. Society Registration Act 1860 provides for the registration of the society for promotional of literature, science, fine arts, or for the charitable purposes. And such an institution may also be incorporated under the Companies Act 1956 or the Cooperative Societies Act. The banker should therefore ensure that the applicant society is a properly incorporated body, an unregistered society which cannot be sued in law. Number two, rules and bylaws of the society. A registered society is governed by the provisions of the act under which it has been registered. It may have its own constitution. It may have its own constitution, charter or memorandum of association, and rules, bylaws, etc. to carry out its activities. A copy of the same must be furnished by the society to the banker. And banker should ensure that the rules are observed by the person who is responsible for managing the society. Third document is Resolution of Managing Committee. Resolution of Managing Committee. For opening the bank account, the managing committee of the society must pass a resolution, and the copy of that must be handed over to the bank, submit to the bank. Appointing a bank concern as the banker for the society, authorizing a person to operate the account, and giving any other direction for the operation of the account. As far as borrowing power is concerned for the societies, when it intend to borrow, banker should ascertain the borrowing power of the society from the charter or the memorandum. A resolution must be passed by the managing committee for the purpose, and any copy thereof must be sent to the banker. Death or resignation. In case the person who is authorized to operate the concerned account on behalf of the society dies or resigns, banker should stop operation of the society's account till the society nominates another person to operate the account. Care to be exercised in case of the personal account. If the person authorized to operate the society's account is also having his personal account with the same branch of the bank, the banker is under an obligation to ensure that the funds of the society are not being credited to the personal account of the said person or office bearer. Now, little bit, some types of account, personal types of accounts. Okay, This is very important because the constitution sometimes make it known to the bankers and general public that unless you categorize those banks, unless you categorize those accounts, no benefit will be given by certain laws, rules, regulation, etc. Now, types of personal account consist of, one is a joint account. One is joint account, personal account, right? When two or more persons open an account jointly, it is called as a joint account, as simple as that. Such accounts may be opened. Such accounts may be opened by any two person for the sake of convenience of the operation of the account and also for withdrawal of the money after the death of one of the other. Banker should take care following the precaution in opening and dealing with the joint account. These conditions are: one, the application for opening the joint account must be signed by all the person who is intending to open the joint account. Second, the banker should obtain a clear instruction in writing signed by all the joint account holders regarding the operation of the account. And the joint account may be operated in any of the following way. Number one, by all the depositors jointly, by either or survivor, by former or survivor. The mandate should be included. The name and names of the person who are authorized to operate the joint account and must specify the extent to which they are authorized to take advance or pledge the security, etc. In the absence of such instruction, the banker should honor only those checks which bears the signature of all the person in whose name the account stands. And the joint account holder who is authorized to operate the joint accounts himself alone can appoint an agent or attorney for operating that account on his behalf. Such attorney or a general agent, such an attorney or agent may be appointed with the consent of all the joint account holders. What will happen if the death of the joint accounter happens? If there is no agreement contrary on the death of the joint account holders, his representative and surviving account holder, they are jointly entitled to claim the balance in the account from the bank. And if all the joint account holders dies, the legal representative of them can jointly claim the amount. When a joint account is opened by the bank with an instruction either or survivor, these words imply an agreement which is contrary to the provision of Section 45. Mandate which is given, like either or survival, permits him to repay the money to the survivor alone. Thus, in the event of the death of any one of the joint account holder, the balance becomes payable to the survivor without reference to the representation of deceased person or persons. Now, facility of nomination facility. Banking Law Amendment Act 1983, as per the Section 45ZA, it provides for the facility for nomination by the depositors, and such a facility shall also be available in case of joint account also. In such cases, all the joint depositors together can nominate, in the prescribed manner one person to whom, in the event of the death of all depositors, the amount of deposit may be returned by the banking company. Such a nominee shall become entitled to right of the depositors. Banking company shall discharge of its liability in respect of the deposit by making payment to the nominees. So friends, we have a detailed discussion on the types of account that is maintained by the bank. Okay, so thank you very much.